Radio Prague News. The presidents of the Visegrad 4, a regional grouping of Central European states, have ended a two-day summit in Prague. Some 20 Egyptian nationals who had asked for asylum in the Czech Republic returned to their homeland this week. And Trade and Industry Minister Martin Riemann says he wants the new government to ensure that the planned purchase of over 500 transport trucks for the Czech military from Tatra Kopřivnice go ahead as planned. The presidents of the Visegrad 4, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Hungary and Poland, ended a two-day summit in Prague on Saturday, vowing to step up their cooperation and pool their power to achieve common goals within the European Union. The four post-communist countries work together to join the EU and frequently coordinate their stands as EU newcomers. In Prague, they expressed disapproval over the possibility that their entry to the Schengen border-free zone could be delayed by a year, saying they would push together for the original date to be observed. In regional matters, the Slovak president Ivan Gašparovič and his Hungarian counterpart Laszlo Solim said they would make a concerted effort to curb nationalist tensions in the two neighbor states. Some 20 Egyptian nationals who had asked for asylum in the Czech Republic returned to their homeland this week. They left of their own volition when it became clear that their plans to settle in Western Europe could not be realized. Over 200 Egyptian nationals have asked for asylum in the Czech Republic, and there were recently two mass escapes from Czech holding centers. Altogether, over 100 Egyptian asylum seekers escaped in what authorities said was an organized escape and attempt to reach a Western country. The majority were brought back from the border, and the incidents resulted in tightened security at all holding centers. The new Trade and Industry Minister, Martin Riemann, says he wants the new government to ensure that the planned purchase of over 500 transport trucks for the Czech military from Tatra Kopřivnice go ahead as planned. Plans for this sale were allegedly shelved by the former government due to significant cuts in the military budget. Mr. Riemann said he considered it unacceptable for purchases involving foreign companies to receive full-scale funding, while domestic-oriented ones which were important for the country's industry to be shelved. The Defence Ministry said the purchase had been merely postponed, not cancelled, but Trade Minister Riemann said he would push to find a solution so that the military could confirm the order as soon as possible. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, coming your way from the Czech capital here in Central Europe. In today's program, ex-president Havel meditates with Madonna, and a stolen money machine crashes into a police car, that and more in magazine. That will be followed by another Czech lesson with Pavla Horáková, and last but not least, you can hear an interview with Martin Paloš, the new Czech ambassador to the United Nations, in which he'll be remembering 9/11 and talking about the world today. But we start Saturday's show on a light-hearted note with magazine. Some 800 fishermen from around the Czech Republic gathered in Luhačovice last weekend for the fishing competition of the year. Participants had 24 hours to produce a prize fish, and Emil Sikora surpassed all expectations when he reeled in an 11.5-kilogram carp. The fish measured 92 centimeters, and the locals immediately dubbed it Moby Dick. A If Pavel Veseli had entered a competition in mushroom picking, he would have been equally successful. The two button mushrooms he brought out of the forest last week were prize finds in a country where huge mushrooms are nothing to boast about. The twin mushrooms looked like brown poppies lying there in the afternoon sunlight, and Pavel says that for a minute he thought he was dreaming. I've picked mushrooms all my life, but this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Mushrooms just don't get any bigger than this, he said proudly. Everybody knows that dumplings are not good for your diet, but Czechs love them and often hold competitions in how many people can eat. The standard portion of dumplings served is 4, but some order as many as 8 to 12 as a side dish. Last weekend, competitors from around the Czech Republic stuffed themselves sick with dumplings to try to break the existing record. The winner, Miloš Janáček, consumed a full 44, but even that was not enough since the Czech record is 57 dumplings. A 9-year-old boy from Olomouc who wanted to steal a piece of chewing gum from a snack machine learnt a hard lesson last week. His hand got trapped in the machine after he had forced it in to get the gum out, and not even the employee responsible for keeping it stocked could help. A crowd of onlookers gathered as a group of firemen worked to free him. It was a very hard lesson, and I must say that I felt sorry for him, the owner said. Of course, this was a little thief who only meant to steal a chewing gum. But funnily enough, elsewhere in Belhřimov, South Bohemia, a couple of much bigger thieves who had stolen a whole cash dispenser were also thwarted in a most unexpected manner. The ATM came loose and flew off the back of their open trailer, crashing into a police car which happened to be passing them in the opposite direction. The thieves made a quick getaway while the police were left standing on the road with a wrecked car and an ATM chock full of money. According to a local daily, there were over 3 million crowns in the machine at the time of the theft. Former President Václav Havel was the only Czech who was allowed a few minutes with Madonna before her concert in Prague. Mr. Havel visited the mega pop star backstage. According to the CTK news agency, he brought her two of his literary works as a gift, and after exchanging a few words, he joined her in a few minutes of quiet meditation before the concert. The former president attended the concert with his stepdaughter and later said it had been a great show. The Czech pop star Karel Gott, who recently got his own museum, Gottland, faces a court dispute over a wine label which he named after his third daughter Charlotte, born this spring. The wine is being sold as a souvenir in the museum and is said to be selling extremely well, largely due to the fact that Gott himself painted the picture of his baby daughter on the label. However, it has now emerged that the brand name Charlotte is owned by a Moravian wine grower, Jiří Hort, who says he's lost thousands of crowns as a result of Gott's business endeavor. Hort is taking the case to court, and lawyers say that his chances of winning are high. An out-of-court settlement is allegedly out of the question, not least because the Moravian wine grower also has a young daughter called Charlotte. I don't see why I should have to pull out of the market with Charlotte because someone more famous happened to give his child the same name, he told reporters. School kids looking for exciting extracurricular activities are having an easy time finding something they like this year. Gone are the days when they could choose between football, ballet, piano lessons or pottery. Nowadays, they can enlist for esoteric or witchcraft classes, hip-hop, feng shui, classes for young detectives, young astronomers, horse riding, Red Cross classes for future nurses or doctors, or bobbin lacework, to name just a few of the options. A lot of parents this year were excited about the arrival of feng shui when one of the instructors happened to mention that it made kids more orderly and aware of their surroundings. Young detectives can sharpen their minds on puzzles and brain teasers, and others are in it for the money. 14-year-old Katka had no romantic notions when asked why she had picked bobbin lacework. One of those bobbin lacework things cost 1,000 crowns in the shop, so I'll be making plenty just as soon as I get the hang of it, she said. The admission fee to Prague's famous St. Vitus Cathedral, located in the Prague Castle compound, is 100 crowns. But should you wish to get married there, then the House of God will open its doors to you for next to nothing. There is no set fee, and the contribution to the priest and organist is voluntary. However, the wedding must not infringe on masses and visiting hours, which means that you can book the cathedral for a church wedding from Monday to Saturday, either before 8 a.m. or after 5 p.m. Well, naturally, the bride and groom must fulfill the conditions for Roman Catholic Church wedding. At least one of them must be baptized, and neither should be divorced. Stories that fail to make Radio Prague's news bulletins, but I make sure they do get to you every week. Now, time for another Czech lesson with Pavla Horáková. And as usual, you can choose whether you want to learn something or just sit back and enjoy it.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which we look at the use of numbers in everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Jan Wellinger,
and we'll be looking at what you need to know when shopping for clothes in the Czech Republic. The expression for shoe size is
číslo bot,
literally a shoe number, or
velikost bot,
which means size. At least three different systems have been in place in the last few decades. What is now women's size
39
was not so long ago called 25 or even 5.
Pět.
The usual way to describe your shoe size is to say
mám nohu 39.
My foot is a 39, literally. The same goes for clothes. With more and more items imported from different parts of the world, you can come across various numbering systems on the labels. A very common women's size is size 38, which is a 12 in the United Kingdom, or approximately an M, in Czech pronounced as
M
or
Mko.
The best way to tell a shop assistant that you wear size 38 is to say
mám 38,
literally I have number 38. The most common sizes are called
konfekční velikosti,
which can be translated as ready-to-wear sizes. Those outside that category are
nadměrné velikosti,
extra large sizes, and there are special shops with that name selling both clothes and shoes. In our earlier lessons, we have mentioned bra sizes from 0 to 6, terms which are sometimes still used to describe the size of a woman's breasts. For example,
trojky,
Number threes would be C-cup breasts, but this numbering is no longer used by manufacturers in this country. As regards sizes, you can often come across the cliché
90-60-90,
meaning centimeters around the chest, waist and hips, describing some people's idea of the ideal female figure. And that's all we have time for today, but we'll be back next week. Till then, nasvidaniya.
Pavla will be back same time next week, and if you'd like to check out that Czech lesson, you'll find it on our webpage at www.radio.cz. Time now to meet this week's guest on One-on-One, Martin Paloš.
In this week's One-on-One, my guest is Martin Paloš, the new Czech ambassador to the United Nations. Martin Paloš has long been a leading Czech intellectual, and his CV lists many important positions and publications. He was one of the first people to sign Charter 77, and was the dissidents group's spokesman in 1986. When change came in late 1989, Martin Paloš was a key figure in the civic forum movement. Since the Velvet Revolution, he has held numerous positions in politics, the civil service, and academia. Martin Paloš was the freshly appointed Czech ambassador to Washington, D.C. when the 9/11 attacks happened in September 2001, and he held the post in Washington until 2005. On the occasion of the fifth anniversary of 9/11, Martin Paloš recalls where he was on September the 11th, 2001.
I know that situation very well. I was sitting in my office here in this building, and actually I have TV on, so I had CNN. I saw in real time that the film with plane just crashing into the building. So I remember that situation very well.
What was the communication like between Washington, D.C. and Prague on that day and the immediate days following the 9/11 attack?
I talked to Mr. Radílek, then my DCM, who was in Washington, asking what was going on. But he didn't know anything more than I did, because we were all just watching CNN.
Well, you took up the active form of your mandate at a time when American domestic security policy and foreign policy certainly came to pay much attention to international security and to terrorism. How much of those concerns and agendas took up your time as ambassador in Washington, D.C.?
You know, first of all, the whole atmosphere was heavily influenced by that experience. But originally, I think that the consensus or the unity between, let's say, Europeans and Americans. Everybody felt like American in these days. I remember these headlines in European presses and political controversies and all these sensitive questions, I think, appeared a little later in the process. I also remember in the fall of 2001 this anthrax situation in the Washington, D.C. So they were all, I would say, emergency arrangements to avoid any risk in this context.
Now, you have lived since 9/11 in Washington, D.C. and now in New York City, but you also spend a lot of time here in the Czech Republic. Your family is here and you travel here regularly. How would you assess this country's preparedness for a potential terrorist attack?
Well, yeah, I'm not an expert in this field. I guess that all systems are in place, but psychologically, I think that this country still has not, and hopefully will not, let's pray for it, to go through any comparable test like Americans had to in the context of 9/11. You know, when I visited New York shortly after, let's say it was the middle of October for the first time, still this strange smell in the air, and you could see smoke coming out from the rubbles out there. So it was a very strange situation. So just, can you imagine here in Prague, let's say, something happening with the castle, with Hradčín, with this beautiful silhouette, and you would be forced to go day after day through Prague and seeing that? I think that it would obviously have a significant effect, but we need to convince ourselves then we would overcome in such a situation, and that terrorism simply should not be given a chance or thought that they would be able to achieve their goals by doing these things.
There's a growing debate in this country about whether or not we, as the Czech Republic, should accept an American offer, if it is to come, to house an anti-missile defense base on this territory. Where do you stand on this issue?
Well, obviously, as a diplomat, I have to hear first what minister and the government says about these things. But I think that whatever a decision is to be taken in the area of defense and security should be based on principles, priorities of the Czech foreign policy, and on rational arguments. I think that if this decision will be taken in the context of our discussions with our allies, bilateral, multilateral, let's say in NATO, if there is a clear relationship between this particular decision and the future of common European defense and security policies, again, this is a very important argument to be taken into consideration. I personally believe that such a installation in the Czech Republic could be a good thing, but we need to hear first arguments and to take positions without knowing real facts, real arguments. And unfortunately, this debate has not so far taken place, and there are so many people already waving flags and politicizing that decision-making process, and this is not a good thing.
You recently gave a speech to the United Nations General Assembly where you stressed that your feeling is the Security Council hasn't changed much at all since the immediate post-World War II era, that in effect the structure within which it exists reflects the post-1945 era and not today's present-day era. How do you propose that the Security Council be changed and the United Nations be reformed? What is the Czech Republic's push behind this drive?
Right now, the Czech Republic is supporting the initiative of so-called G4, four countries, Germany, Japan, Brazil, and India, new potential permanent members of the Security Council, plus new non-permanent members coming from regional groups. Obviously, this is a general debate. You have to see the continuing efforts to reform the Security Council in connection with the same efforts to do something with other UN bodies, General Assembly, ECOSOC. Because it's true that the United Nations has been created as a reaction to the Second World War, and right now we really live in a different world, different security environment, but it's easy to say, but much more complicated, and some people might be inclined to believe impossible to change the organization, because this institutional inertia is very heavy.
You were an active member at two very important milestones within the last roughly 20 years. Not only were you an active participant in the events of November and December 1989, but then you were the ambassador of the Czech Republic to Washington when the 9/11 attacks happened. What do you take with you that, having lived through these events, make Martin Paloš?
Well, it's a really difficult question, what I can say. It's, I think, possible to say that the fall of communism in our part of the world, which means November of 1989, the 20th century, in a way, came to its end. And with the tragedy of 9/11, we have entered really a new era with so many uncertainties and open questions. So I think I lived, as you said, as both active participant and observer through moments of real historical transformations of our time. So it certainly can help me to understand the events of today, always being reminded that historical contexts are important. It seems to me that very often people, when they want to just formulate their judgments, seeing things, they are forgetting this broader historical context and experience and situation. So always try just to take a lesson. An exercise of understanding always has been important for me. That's why I studied so many things during my life, and philosophy definitely was a sort of leading and most important inspiration for me. And, you know, to combine practical diplomacy with this type of intellectual attitude, it's sometimes strange, unusual, but maybe that's what makes Martin Paloš Martin Paloš.
And that brings us to the end of today's program. I'd just like to remind you that all of Radio Prague's features are available in text and sound at your convenience on our webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. It's an easy address to remember, so do check it out when you have the time. Well, should you like to contact us here at Radio Prague, then the address to write to is english@radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.